Samaritanus venit secus eum et videns eum, misericordia motus est. The Samaritan came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I was at this pulpit on the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and we reflected on the Gospel of the Pharisee and the Publican. Last Sunday, hopefully, you had an opportunity to reflect on the Gospel of the Deaf and Dumb Man. Today, on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost, Holy Mother Church asks us to reflect on the Gospel of the Good Samaritan. Now, 9 times out of 10, the sermon about today's Gospel of the Good Samaritan goes something like this. Recognize your neighbor in everyone. Don't be like the priest and the Levite who passed by someone in need of assistance. Everyone who stops and helps to alleviate the suffering of another person is a good Samaritan. Now, for the record, I would like to say that these are very good sermons. We always need to be reminded to help our neighbor and to practice the corporal works of mercy, especially toward the poor and the most rejected. How we live the gospel each week is called the moral lesson of the parable. But according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, there is also an allegorical meaning to the parable. In the allegorical meaning of the parable, we understand how the gospel relates to our Lord. What does this parable tell us about our Lord? Is the question we ask when we're looking for the allegorical meaning of the parable. Now, all the fathers of the church, for example, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Great, all of the fathers of the church saw, in addition to the moral lesson of today's parable of the Good Samaritan, an allegorical meaning to the parable. Every part of the parable of the Good Samaritan has a symbolic meaning, an allegorical meaning. And that's what I'd like to walk through with you today. The robbers in the parable represent the three enemies of the soul: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Notice that there are plural robbers, just like there are more than one enemy to the soul: the flesh, and the devil. Now, the man who fell victim to robbers is each one of us. On our journey through life, we are attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. By leading us into sin, Satan beats us up, strips us of our white baptismal robe, and leaves us half dead by the side of the road. Well, actually, in Latin, it said semi-vivo, which means partially alive. So semi-vivo, semi-alive. So we're half alive, because our bodies are alive, but our souls are dead in mortal sin. Sometimes we find ourselves attacked by the world, people picking on us. They're persecuting us. They're calling us names. As the psalm says, they compassed me about for teaching the faith, for living the way that our Lord asks us to live. And sometimes it's the flesh that leaves us weak and wounded. We're battling cancer, or recovering from a stroke or surgery, or perhaps we're suffering from an addiction or from various sins of the flesh. We're attacked by robbers: the devil, the world, and our own flesh. And doesn't it seem that sometimes nobody comes to help us? Sometimes, sadly, not even the priest comes to help us. Everyone is so busy these days, they just keep moving right along. They don't stop to visit us when we're sick. They don't care if we're being persecuted and picked on for living the teachings of the church. They don't even care if I'm mortal sin living outside God's graces. The fathers of the church say that the priest and the Levi represent the old covenant. That the priest and the Levi represent the law and the prophets. And they represent the inability of the Old Testament to restore man to life. Following all the laws and the prophets of the Old Testament will not save us and revive us. Father Ronald Knox, that great, great preacher in England, says it much better than I can. This is how he says it. For centuries, the sacrifices of the Old Covenant have continued. Burnt offerings and peace offerings and sacrifices for sin have continued, but in vain. The blood of bulls and calves and rams have been shed at the brazen altar, and the doorposts and vessels of the sanctuary have been sprinkled with it, but in vain. The censers clash and stream, and the bells jingle, and the jewels shine upon the sacred vestments as the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, but in vain. Human nature still lies by the side of the road, hurt to the death, and powerless to achieve its own recovery. No priest, no Levite can help. Beautiful sermon from Ronald Knox, isn't it? So, the Old Testament can't revive us. They can't save us. Who can save us? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is Jesus, who comes to rescue man from Satan, from the world, and from the flesh. This parable is an autobiography of our blessed Lord. Look at what Jesus, the Good Samaritan, does for us. He is moved with compassion, with misericordia, it says in the Latin. He is moved with mercy, compassion, at the sight of our sickness and sin. He approaches us. He comes near to us by becoming man, by taking on our flesh. Christ's entire life is a continual approach to man so as to remedy our material and spiritual needs. And how does he heal us? He pours oil and wine in our wounds and bandages them. The oil of baptism, the oil in confirmation, the oil in extremuncture. He heals our wounds by pouring in the oil of his divine mercy and the wine of his most precious blood. And then he lifts us up on his own animal. He lifts us up on his own shoulders and carries the burden of our sins. And he takes us to an inn. And the inn is the Roman Catholic Church, who will take good care of us until Jesus comes again. Listen again to Father Ronald Knox and his sermon on this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. He says it so much better than I can. The words of Father Ronald Knox. The church is the inn located along the road of life. She receives those travelers who are worn out from their journey, who bring with them the baggage of their past sins. Here, travelers can be freed from the weight of sin so that they may rest and take nourishment to enable them to continue on their way. Three things, Ronald Knox says, above all we shall look for in the inn. for refreshment, for good company, and for repose. What refreshment the inn of the church gives us as we feed upon the body and blood of Christ. What company as we are knitted together in its holy fellowship with all God's chosen people in this world and beyond, our companions at the divine altar. What rest for our sin-worn consciences when scruples and doubts and fears are lulled by the murmur of absolution, and we can draw free deep breaths once more. The words of Father Robert Knox, they're stunning, aren't they? The innkeeper in the parable stands, of course, for St. Peter and his successors. And Jesus leaves them everything, full authority, so that they can care for our wounded souls. And the Good Samaritan, our Lord, gives the innkeeper, St. Peter, two coins, which can represent either the two testaments, the Old and the New Testament, or can represent, as the fathers would say, true teaching on faith and morals. The two coins given to the innkeeper, St. Peter, and his successors, the Holy Scriptures and true teaching on faith and morals. And yes, our Lord, the Good Samaritan, promises to return for us one day at the end of our life and at the end of the world. So doesn't this allegorical interpretation bring new meaning to this great parable of the Good Samaritan? To review, we're on a journey. We're on a journey to heaven. The journey isn't always easy. We are the naked, beat-up man by the side of the road, semi-alive and partially dead because of our sins attached to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are the ones who are so often ignored in our suffering, except by Jesus, who has compassion on us. Jesus is the Good Samaritan who heals us from our wounds, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus takes us to the inn of the Catholic Church, where we find the company of the saints and the nourishment of his body and blood and everything else that we need until he returns for us. I thought it might be beautiful to conclude by reading the inspiring words of St. Gregory the Great, who, remember, died in 604. This is a beautiful prayer that he wrote based on this allegorical meaning of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now Pope St. Gregory the Great. Lord Jesus, I pray that you may be moved to pity and come to me. I have gone down from Jerusalem to Jericho, descended from the heights to the depths, from health to sickness. I have fallen into the hands of the angels of darkness, who have not only stripped me of my garment of spiritual grace, but have also wounded me and left me half dead. Lord Jesus, bind up the wounds of my sins by making me believe that they can be healed. For if I despair of healing, they will become worse. Apply the oil of forgiveness to them and pour in the wine of compunction. If you place me on your beast, you'll be raising up the poor from the dust, the needy from the rubbish heap. For it is you who have carried our sins, who have paid back what you did not take. If you lead me to the inn of your church, you will nourish me with your body and blood. If you take care of me, I shall not transgress your commandments, nor fall prey to the rage of wild beasts. I need your protection as long as I bear this corruptible flesh. So please, listen to me, O Good Samaritan. Listen to me, who am stripped and wounded, weeping and groaning.
groaning as I call upon you and cry out with David, have mercy on me, O God, in your great kindness. And the Good Samaritan came near to us and seeing us half dead, was moved with compassion. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.